Amen. Well, that's just a testimony of answered prayer, right? Amen. Thank the Lord. All right. Ephesians chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to be this morning. And preach to you for a few minutes what God has given to us. And those of you that have been following along with us, you know exactly where we're going to be this morning. And so you pray for some of these men as we move through this sermon. Sometimes men don't take things as well as women do. And you ever notice when a man gets sick, it's always so much worse than when a woman gets sick. I think it's something genetic. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's scientific. I'm sure that it is. And same way with sermons. And so y'all pray for these men that they'll be able to handle this morning. All right, let's stand if we found our place in chapter number 5, Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll start our reading in verse number 21. And we'll go ahead and read down through the remaining portion of the chapter. And then we'll pray and you can be seated. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Of course, we covered this last Sunday. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Wherefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Now for this morning, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Oh, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, I love you this morning, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be able to give truths to this body of believers that they can learn and grow thereby. May you be exalted in what's said and done. We pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Over the past couple weeks, we have been dealing with the structured home. Ephesians 5 gives us what is without a doubt the most in-depth look in the Scriptures of what God intends for a godly marriage to look like. Paul writes both to the husband and the wife individually, as well as collectively teaching them what is to be their proper role and their proper place in the home. Last Sunday, we dealt with the godly wife and how that her role in the home is summed up by one word, and Paul uses that word frequently, and it is the word submission. That is what God requires of the godly wife. Now, this morning, I want to deal with the husband, having a structured home, and deal with the husband. For what it is worth, I'll say just in passing to us men, for what it is worth, God through the Apostle Paul, maybe I should say it that way, God through the Apostle Paul has much more to say to the husband than he does the wife. In fact, if you study Paul's writing in the Greek, you'll discover he has 40 words to say to the wife and 115 words to say to the husband. Almost three times as much to say to one than the other. I said just a moment ago that you could sum up Paul's writing to the wife in one word, and it'd be the word submission. I think you can do the same to his writings to the husband. If you was to sum up Paul's writing to the husband, it would be this one word. It would be the word love.
just as the wife is to willingly submit to her own husband, as the church submits to Christ, the wife is to display love toward his wife as Christ displayed love to the church. Now, I will say this. If the role of submission is a high standard, and it is, I believe the responsibility of love is an even greater standard. It is even a higher standard. In fact, while we spend so much time trying to teach the wife to be in submission, I really believe that if the husband would learn to love as Christ loved the church, then the wife would not have such a hard time finding her role in submission in the home. In fact, if you do a quick count, you'll discover that Paul, 6 times in this passage of Scripture, one wave after another, over and over again, says to the godly husband, love her, love her, love her, 6 times. Love her as Christ loved the church. I find it interesting, Brother Scott, that Paul never one time, you can't find it, Paul never one time said to the husband, be the head of your home. You'll never find where Paul said, be the boss, the ruler of your home. The fact that he is the leader is just implied in the fact that she's told to be in submission. But while he never says, be the ruler of your home, 6 times he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. In fact, in our scripture, Paul gives 2 illustrations, and I'll get to my thoughts in just a second. You hang on. But as Paul begins to teach us how the husband is to love the wife, he gives 2 illustrations. He gives the illustration, first of all, of Christ and the church. He said, if you want to know, sir, how to love her, he said, you love her like Christ loved the church. And we will say much about that in just a moment this morning. But not only does he say, love her as Christ loved the church, but he gives a 2nd illustration, and he says this, if you want to know how to love her, he said, verse number 28, 29, love her like you love yourself. He said, if you would love her like Christ loved the church, if you would love her like you love yourself, then you would understand and model in your home what true godly love looks like. Now I want to preach for just a few minutes on having a structured home, hyphen the husband. That's what we've been, I can't figure out a better way to say it. If you've got a better way, you tell me. We're about done, but anyway, you write it down however you want to. I want to show you 3 things. Number one, we're going to talk about how the husband's to love the wife, okay? I want you to write down 3 things. Number one, write this down. He is to love her sacrificially. He is to love her sacrificially. Verse number 25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. And then mark this phrase, and gave himself for it. Paul begins by telling us that Christ displayed his love for the church by giving himself for it. And we know that that is true. You and I would all agree that Christ loved the church so greatly that he willingly laid down his life to purchase the church. In fact, I think I can say it like this in a very real way. Christ gave of himself, gave his all, so that he could have a loving relationship with every one of us. Would we agree with that? And if the husband is to make Christ love for the church the pattern for his love in the home, then we would say that the husband is to love the wife sacrificially. The husband should be willing to give of himself for the benefit of his home, for the benefit of his marriage, and for the benefit of his wife. 1 Corinthians 13, that great chapter on love, tells us that love is not selfish. Love does not seek its own. True love, you see, is willing to give. True love cares for the other more than it cares for itself. Real love is a giving, a sacrificial love. That is what God expects of us men. That is true in the church. It is true in the world. But it is certainly true inside of our homes. We are to give sacrificially, lovingly of ourselves for the benefit of our marriage and on our wife. We could take the illustration of Jacob that loved Rachel so much that he willingly worked for 14 years sacrificially so that he could get her. Oh, we could use the illustration in the Garden of Eden, how that God looked upon man and said it's not good for man to be alone. And God knew that man needed something. And in order to give man what he needed, Brother Lee, he took something from man. Man gave sacrificially. He gave a rib. And from that rib, God created a woman. From the Garden of Eden, God set a standard. And the standard was, in order for a man to have a wife, to walk with that helpmeet, he must give sacrificially. The husband is to give. Now, I'll say this. Men oftentimes want to be the leaders of their home, and they should, but they often forget that real leadership begins with sacrifice. The best type of leadership comes from a sacrificial leader. We all know and maybe have experienced the difference between a boss and a leader, have we not? A boss drives, a boss demands, but a leader motivates and encourages and inspires and gets in the trenches with his team and helps them along. You see, God never called you to be the boss of your home, but the leader of your home. Lead in love. You say, preacher, why is it so important that the husband love the wife sacrificially? I believe that is important because in loving sacrificially, you are setting a tone. You are setting the tone of your home. If you are willing to sacrifice yourself in order to display love for her, then she, in return for that, can do what she's supposed to do inside of the home. In fact, the word submit that Paul writes to the wife over and over again in those three verses, that word literally means to respond, is what it means. It means to respond. What that means, sir, is that you set the tone, you set the standard by your sacrificial love, and then God calls upon her to respond to the standard that you set. I'm going to say something that might be a little tough to hear, but we'll say it, move on from it, and you can digest it. There are some men that think, God help us, there are some men that think that the world revolves around them. They're not willing to say it, but they sure act like it sometimes. They go to work, they hang out with their friends, they watch TV all night, they play around on the weekends, and they never one time give any thought to what does my wife need. And then I'll say this just as kindly as I can, they wonder why things in the relationship with their wife aren't what they want it to be. Maybe it's because, sir, you've never one time paid any attention to what your wife needs through the week. Leviticus 19:18 teaches us to love our neighbor as ourself. Never forget, sir, that your closest neighbor is your wife. What would it hurt for a man to help his wife with supper one night, to push the vacuum around the living room, to do something for the kids and give her a break, to watch one of those mushy movies instead of one of those action flicks? What would it hurt to sit down and talk to her every once in a while instead of being so consumed by the ball game and the news and the everything else you got going on the internet? You know what your wife needs. If you don't know what she needs, ask her and she will tell you. And then follow the example of Jesus Christ, who willingly gave of himself so that he could display his love. The husband is to love his wife sacrificially. Number two, the husband is to love his wife with salvation. Oh, that's an odd one, I know. He's to love his wife with salvation. Look at verse number 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, this may sound strange when I say it, but I think that I'm right in saying it. The husband is called upon to be the savior of his home. What I mean by that is this. It is God's will for the husband to so model the love of Christ that he takes his family and places them into a better relationship with Jesus Christ because he led them and loved them like Christ leads and loves. What does it mean to be a savior? Maybe we ought to ask that question. What does it mean to be a savior? To be a savior means to be a rescuer, right? We think about Peter out on the water that night, and the waves got too high and the lightning got too bright, and he got afraid and he began to sink, and he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus was immediately there and saved him. He became his rescuer, his savior. Well, a savior then, I think I could say it this way, a savior takes a person from one position or one relationship and puts them in a better position. What did Christ do for you when he saved you? When Jesus found you, you were in a relationship with sin and death, and he took you from a relationship of sin and death and put you into a relationship of sonship and love and salvation. God took you from one place and put you into a better place. Amen. Therefore, I believe that the wife should feel like being married to you, she is in the best place she's ever been in her entire life. She should feel like she is in a better relationship now than she has ever been. Think about this, men. If Jesus, as our Savior, took us from a relationship, put us in a better relationship, what does that look like? It means that he took our problems and he made them his problems. Did he not? He died for our sins. He took our punishment. He took our hell. The husband should be willing to take the wife's problems and make them his problems. He should be her protector. He should be her confidant. He should be her best friend. If there's something that's bothering your wife, it should be your responsibility to listen to her and to help her, to be there for her. When you were dating, you remember that far back? When you were dating, if your now wife had any problems, you as Johnny on the spot to try to help. "Oh, baby, you just tell me what's wrong. You just tell me what I can do, and I will fix it. Anything you need, I am right. Baby, it's me. I got you." "Oh, baby, you just tell me." Now she comes home from work, and you sense that there was a problem at the job, and she's not had the best day, and you run to the other end of the house as quick as you can. You turn on the television, and if she comes in the room to talk to you about it, you pretend like you're asleep. There are going to be days where she has hard days. There are going to be days when the kids or the grandkids acted like wild animals. There are going to be days when her hair just won't fix right. And as the husband, we should be patient and we should be kind and we should be loving. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." You're to be the savior of your home. Let me give you three things to write down, or a couple things to write down. He's to be the rescuer. He's to take her problems and make them his problems. Salvation means to be set apart. When a man and a woman join together in matrimony, they are setting themselves apart. They belong to one another. He belongs to her and she belongs to him. If we are in a proper relationship with one another, it should be drawing us closer together day by day, not further apart day by day. It should draw us closer to one another and draw us closer together with Christ. Amen. The goal of the husband should be to so align himself with Christ that his family draws closer to Christ because he is drawing closer to Christ. To be a Savior means to be the cross bearer. The husband is responsible to carry the heavy load of the home. It is not always easy to carry the heavy load, but Jesus carried His cross, and so we must be willing to carry the cross of our home. The wonderful thing about this illustration of Christ and His church is this. If your home today is not what you want it to be, sir, then you pick up the heavy cross, you carry the burden of your home, you turn your home into what God wants it to be, and if you're willing to carry that cross today, God will give your home and your marriage resurrection power in the future. Amen. As the cross bearer, we make the hard decisions. We stand for what we believe is right. We lead our family, and our family follows us. We do it, and it is not easy, and it is hard, but one day when those children get saved, or one day when your wife is in service and gets blessed, it is worth it all to be the cross bearer of your home. My wife and I have been married for almost 25 years, and in those 25 years, I have learned that the more she is blessed, the more I am blessed. I know the Scripture says that we're one. The Bible teaches us that, right? In fact, it's in our verses here, verse 31. But I've discovered, Brother Lee, that I get more blessed out of church when she gets more blessed out of church. And when she tells me that something that God's done in her life, or something she picked up in her reading, or something that God spoke to her about when she was praying, those are my greatest times of blessing. Amen. You see, I am blessed because she is blessed. Sir, you should love her. Prefer her above yourself. Pray for her. Be a display of Christ for her. And then watch what happens as she begins to get blessed. You'll notice that your blessing increases along with it. Okay, number one, he is to love her sacrificially. Number two, he is to love her with salvation. Number three, he is to love her in security. Verse number 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. In the example of Christ in the church, we see that Christ has done everything necessary to present us to himself a glorious church. Christ did the work. Christ did the saving. Christ does the securing. Christ is bringing us along. He does everything necessary to secure us in our relationship with Him. And in like manner, it is the husband's duty to make sure that his wife is secure in their relationship. Sir, she should be secure in your passion for her. And I will just say this quickly in passing. Your definition of passion and hers are not always the same. She needs to know that you love her. She needs to hear you say that you love her. She needs you to do things to display to her that you love her. You say, oh, she knows I love her. I told her 15 years ago when we got married. Yeah, but she needs to hear it. She needs to know it. She needs to be secure in it. Can I give you a little illustration and you don't think bad of me? I heard a Scottish preacher say this week, I was listening to a sermon on marriage, and I heard a Scottish preacher say that he thinks that every husband should go through the Garth Brooks test. So what's the Garth Brooks test? The Garth Brooks test is this. It was Garth Brooks that one time said, "Sometimes late at night, I lie awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams, so I turn out the lights and lay there in the dark. And then the thought crosses my mind, if I never wake in the morning, If I never wake in the morning, would she?" I knew somebody was a country music fan in here. We'll give an altar invitation soon as this is a... He said, "If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I love her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? And if my time on earth was through and she had to face this world without me, would the love I gave her in the past, would it be enough to last if tomorrow never comes? Is she secure in your passion for her? She should be secure in your provision for her." I understand that most families now have dual incomes. Some have got to the place of retirement and others can't work. I get all of those things. But it is the duty of the husband to make sure that his family is provided for. He does what he has to do to make sure that there is food on the table and clothes on their children's back and that the rent is paid. And he carries that heavy load. Amen. She should feel secure in your provision for her. She should feel secure in your protection for her. Whatever happened to men being men? You mess with me, and I'll probably let a lot of that slide. I don't like controversy very much, and I don't like drama at all. You say what you want to about me, and you might not hear anything in return. But you'd be too ugly to her, and you're going to have to deal with me over it. You say, "Well, that's not very Christian." I don't know how Christian it is, but you're going to find out. Just do it. Mess with her and see. Let me read you a couple verses here. They're in chapter number 5. They're verse 31, 32, 33. And I'll close. Paul said, "For this cause," and he's quoting from Genesis 2 now. Paul said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Oh, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and see that she reverence her husband. Husbands and wives should strive for the relationship that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter number 5. And if we make this our model for marriage, then our relationship will be satisfying." Paul said it this way. He said in verse 31, when you got married, you become one flesh. That means whatever you do should be done, sir and ma'am, with the other person in mind. As I love her and she loves me, it brings nourishment to both of us. And if I'm loving her and she's loving me, we are mutually submissive, verse number 21, then our home is never starving for love. And our home is in a position where God can bless it. In order for our homes to be happy, to be healthy, to be blessed, we must model Christ in this church. And if there are problems in your marriage this morning, then that means at least one of you is not in your proper place, according to Ephesians chapter number 5. More than likely, it means that both of you are not in your proper place, according to Ephesians 5. You say, "Well, what do I do about it?" Well, say to the wife, willingly submit to your husband. You say, well, he's not loving me like he should. Okay. But I say that to you first because Paul said it to the wife first. Submit to your husband. And then I'll follow that up by saying to the husband, love your wife. You say, well, she's not being very lovely right now. Yeah, well, you wasn't super lovely when Christ showed you love. And the truth of the matter is that if Christ and the church is our standard, and it is, then we must all agree that Christ loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us first. And when He loved us, we responded to that love. And He put us in that right relationship. If your relationship is not right, love her. Love her. And watch and see what happens in your home as she begins to respond to the love that you are setting the standard with. I'll say this and I'm done. I believe that happily ever after is not a fairy tale. It is a choice. And you and I choose day by day whether we have the kind of marriage that God wants us to have. I tell you what, let's do. Let's give a moment of invitation. There may be someone here that wants to come pray. Maybe a husband that wants to come pray. A wife that wants to come pray. Maybe a couple that wants to come pray together. But we want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you're here this morning and you want to pray, these altars are open. Brother Scott, could you get us just a verse of a song? Just a verse. If you're here this morning, these altars are open. You come pray while he sings.